we're going to just trust that, Lord, that you're going to heal him, that everything's going to be fine, that results are going to be great. And so we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Jesus, that we can bring all of our moments to you, our happy moments, our anxious moments, Lord, that you are faithful. And I pray that your faithfulness will be upon Harvey and these results. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. How many of you, I'm going to pray first for the message, right? If I didn't do that, I'd be... It's amazing. I've been doing this for all these years. And if I don't pray before I preach, I couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? Does it make any sense to you? Maybe not, but anyway. Gracious Heavenly Father, I praise you and thank you so much, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that through all these years, Lord, that you've always been so faithful. You've been with me, Lord, and as I stumble and fumble around from time to time, Lord, that you're always there to pick me up and give me encouragement and give me the words to say. I thank you for that, Father God, and I pray that this message will bring you glory and honor, Lord, because I know you're with us, Lord. You are with us through your Holy Spirit, and I pray, Lord, that as you are in this place with us right now, Lord, that this message will be pleasing to you and bring you glory and honor. I pray that you may anoint me and use me to make that happen, Lord. But we just thank you and we give you praise and we open up our hearts to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, we're going to test your age and whatever. In this regard, I'm going to ask age numbers. Of course not. I wouldn't do that. Sorry, Jan. How old are you, Jan? No. How many of you heard of Phyllis Diller? Very good. Look, a lot of hands went up. Well, Phyllis Diller is a comedian. And do you remember her trademark was her appearance, right? You know, we can visualize Phyllis Diller coming out on the stage and look like she stuck her finger in the light socket. Her hair is just going in every which direction. Well, Phyllis Diller said, I once spent 7 hours in a beauty salon, and that was just for the estimate. I hope this morning that this message will be beautiful to you, that you will get something out of it that you can take with you as you leave. And that's my hope and that's my prayer. Of course, that should be for every message, every pastor. And we need to pray also for all churches that are bringing the gospel, all pastors that are bringing the gospel. I can tell you from doing this for all these years that this is not an easy task. It is not. Not to build pastors. I'm for all pastors. I pray for them as they bring the message because I know what the process that probably most of them hopefully use as they bring it to the word to their people. So God is good, and so when your new pastor comes, be good to him. Be good. Because if you don't, I'm going to come back and give you what for. You know, but God is good, and God is good all the time. So we want to look at, this morning, we've been looking at the Gospel of John. Now we want to look at Luke's Gospel. I'm closing up the miracles with Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. And it's the beginning of his healing ministry. So we're going to be talking about Jesus' healing ministry. But at the end, we're going to see how the importance of the healing, but then how he shifts in his thinking as we get into the latter chapters, of Luke chapter 4, verses 38 through 44. So I'm going to first read it, and then we're going to break it down. That sound good enough? Okay, we'll be done in 10 minutes. I just lied. God is merciful, though. He's merciful. Okay, listen for the word of God. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each of them, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Messiah. Verse 42, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. So ends the word of God. Now, my first thought is the healing power, number one. Let's go back and revisit verses 38 and 39. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. Now, here Jesus rebuked the fever. And I love to listen to and read about what scholars say about this particular passage. Because when you put rebuke in there, there's a lot of assume that Peter's mother-in-law was being influenced by a demon. And that could very well be. We could probably discuss that and debate that. Who really knows if that person was really possessed? But nonetheless, we notice in this that after her miraculous, complete healing, what did she do? She immediately started serving others. What an amazing story. What an amazing witness of servanthood. And to me, sometimes we do not, we place servanthood at a much lower level than what we should. And especially when it comes to what we call everyday ministries within the church. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard somebody say to me, "Well, Pastor, you know, I teach a Sunday school, you know, but you know, we got the elder or whatever, they're up there, they're you know, they bring an announcement or something, or you're preaching, whatever." Like that's supposed to be, we're supposed to be better than them. Nonsense. You know, we are blessed when people serve. This woman was healed. She gets up and she serves. And that's what God calls us to do out of our gratitude and praise for him. We are called to serve. Now, I've been blessed in so many churches, especially with the Women's Association. Oh, man, I tell you. I bless in my first church, they were farmers. And man, I tell you, when they put on a potluck, I mean, that is a potluck. You know, I made a rabbit trail. You're going to miss these rabbit trails. There's one gal in one church, she used to make this apple pie for a potluck, all the desserts. So I'd scan that dessert table. That was always a separate table, looking for her apple pie. Guys, I made a mistake. Now, Jan, she's laughing now, so that's a good thing. I said to this gal that made this apple pie, I said, "That is the best apple pie I've ever tasted." Jan caught hold of that one, and Jan makes a great apple pie. And then she said to me, "I thought you said I make the best apple pie." So Pastor got caught in a little area, you know, a little sin maybe, which I had to, you know, ask God for forgiveness there. But my point with all of that is how important that is to serve. In that first church, in the second church, I did many funerals, too many. And almost like it was like once a week I was doing and these gals, they would just come to me, especially in Princeton, Illinois, the women say, "Well, how many is going to be, we're going to have the reception here, and how many are going to be at the reception?" I say, "Well, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it." I never worried about it. They ministered to me because that's one area I did not have to worry. They would just take care of it. That is servanthood, and they were right every time. Now let's go to our church. I'm just saying, I know I can't mention names or whatever because I leave someone out, but we have a fantastic women's serving group here. And I can tell you as a pastor, I won't mention name, but as a pastor, I am so confident because I know that this ministry is very well taken care of. And it serves me and it serves the people. That God's got a smile on these ministries because it is so, so important that we recognize how important servanthood is. And I think in this story here, she immediately gets up and she serves. What an example. Serve, serve. It's one thing to be in a church, I'm just saying, but it's another thing also to be in the church and to serve in some capacity. So you got to figure out where your gifts are, where your passion, your desire is, and serve. It's important to serve. If your passion is not being on a board, then don't be on a board. Find out where your passion is, but serve. Because what it does, it just helps all of us, doesn't it? And everything kind of works together, you know? I'm telling you, if I say, I want to serve, if I tell you, next Sunday, that's it for me here. I think I'm going to sing a solo. I don't think that Becca or Sue would want that to happen at all. See, it's using your gifts to serve and minister to other people. That, to me, when I read that first part of that passage, that's what jumped out at me. The healing, yes. But after the healing, what happens after the healing? What happens after God has blessed you and touched you? What happens? So that's important, okay? All right, that wasn't so bad. Number two, the word is out, verses 40 through 41. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. So the word spread, and the people waited until the Sabbath ended at sunset before they brought their family and their friends for Jesus' healing. Jesus healed all kinds of sickness with compassion. The Bible says, as he laid his hands on the afflicted. Today, many Christians follow Jesus' example by laying on the hands of those that need a spiritual or physical healing. Jesus healed in many ways, didn't he? He healed by word. He just spoke it, and people were healed. They didn't have to be there. We've talked about that. He spoke a person's healing before, and if you look at Lazarus, you know? Lazarus, you know, what Jesus went in that tomb and healed. So he healed through moisture, saliva, his own saliva, through mud, the pool, the word, as I just mentioned, and a variety of ways Jesus healed. And we do in the church as well. God has called us to heal, and we heal in a variety of ways. Sometimes it's through intercessory prayer. Sometimes we're praying in the corner for someone, or we just prayed for Harvey. We pray in a variety of ways for healing because there is not just one. Jesus was not simply a specialist that we just heal by simply laying hands on someone. There's no question Jesus could have easily healed all the people all at once by saying, "You're healed." But sometimes I believe that, now this is just me, that Jesus realized that some people need that little special touch of comfort, just a personal touch. As we lay our hands on someone or put our hands on their shoulders and ask for healing. Amen? Amen. Now, sometimes you get into these services, healing service, it gets revved up, and it gets really exciting. People are doing all sorts of things. But I'm just saying that you don't have to just, somebody needs a healing, you don't have to just grab them, wrestle them, put them over your knee, and just demand a healing right then and there. Because God is a gentleman. God heals. You know, I'm just saying, sometimes we get excited, and I'm getting excited, and we pray, well, that's okay. But we don't have to shout for God to hear us. We don't. I don't have to shout for God to hear if I'm praying for you. God's not hard of hearing. And he's not so impressed because I think because I shout that I'm more spiritual or whatever. That's all I'm saying is just, you know, we can be cool. If you want to get a little excited, emotional, that's fine too. But remember, God can do it either way. You know, it's not dependent on how we say it. It's if he wants, if it's in, according to his will. Amen and amen. Okay, I got by that one. I didn't think that was too bad. Verse 41. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. The demons even recognized Jesus was the Son of God. But Jesus hushed them. Why? Because it wasn't God's timing. It wasn't Jesus' time to be revealed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There are some scriptures in there we wonder, why did he put it in? Why did he hush? Why did he do this? Because it's all about God's timing. Sometimes we get that and we want to retranslate that into our timing according to our will, what we think is the right thing. God, you should be doing this. God, you should be doing that. Why hasn't that happened, God? I've been praying and praying and praying. I go to church, I sing, I do all these things. I give, but it's not turning out the way I think it should. Timing. Everything is God's timing. I was talking to Jan about God's timing. We were talking about the church here, and Jan felt a year ago we were called away. But Jan said, but it wasn't God's timing because God never touched your heart, my heart, about that issue. You're right. Now, some of you say, oh, Lord, your time is way overdue. That's not your point. God's point is, I will do what I do, what I want to do, when I want to do it. So you just step out of the way and just let me do it. You are going through a time now of a transition. And there's a lot of things going, a lot of buzz within the board and everything. I appreciate the buzz. It's good, but it's buzz. You know? And I'm sitting back and say, it's all God's timing. God has something for you, a blessing. He's got something for me, but not pastoring a church. But he's going to keep me busy, and I know it. I've got opportunities already, so which is cool, which is good. So old pastor not going to be, you know, sitting in the rocking chair, getting older and older, just watching the soap operas or whatever. Occasionally watch the dandelions come up and say, I'm too tired to go up and spray them. You see, my point is God has something for all of us. We just need to wait upon him. That's all. How many times have you used the word wait, 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 wait? And for you personally, God has something for you. Zoe, God has something for you. You might say, oh, I know what it is. Or maybe you're saying, I don't know what it is quite yet. But that's cool. Just wait. Wait on him. Let him figure it out. And just follow him. Sometimes that's that's the growing part in the faith, is when we just learn to wait and wait upon the Lord. And when we do that, when he answers those prayers, that just draws us closer and closer to him because we realize that process really works, to wait upon the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay. That was kind of a weak amen, but that's all right. Now, number three, Becca, there are three thoughts, 3 points, so I thought I'd let you guys know. I think last week I missed Chris or somebody back there, whatever. Number three, the bigger picture, verses 42 and 44. Now, I want us to really listen and hone in on this because you know, we can probably take this in different ways, but hopefully we can take it in the right vein that Jesus presents it in his word. So at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. Why do you suppose, right here, why do you suppose they were trying to keep Jesus there from leaving? Hey, well, I want to heal. They want to leave. Hey, come on. Let's hoard this guy. Let's keep him right here for our own pleasure, for our own benefit. All right? But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he went on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. The next morning, Jesus departed quietly. And where did he go? To a solitary place. Wasn't that Jesus' way? Jesus always found himself in ministry, and then he'd find his place. Ministry, I need to get away. I need to be with God. I need to be with my Father. He would pray. He would talk to his Lord when he'd be in God's presence and feel his presence. No question that Jesus' healing ministry convinced some that he was truly Israel's Messiah. However, Jesus came to proclaim a new kingdom of God in which he is king. Jesus came to proclaim a new way of life under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to proclaim that he alone has power and authority over life, sickness, and death. Yes, it's important to pray for physical healing when people need a prayer for a physical need or whatever, or maybe something's going on at work or whatever. Any kind of a prayer of need, it's great to pray. We need to do that. That's biblical. Now, I don't want you to come up to me after this message and say, oh, but Pastor, you said it's not necessary. It is. We need to pray for each other, to lay hands on each other. That is important. However, in my opinion, I believe in verses 42 through 44, Jesus puts a higher priority on the kingdom of God through what? Through prayer. I'm going to put prayer in there because he went to a solitary place. Gee, I had to go there. Had to be in prayer with my Father. We need that too. We need to go there and be in prayer with our Father. Also in preaching. Jesus said preaching the kingdom of God is important. It is today, 2,000 years later, to preach the word of God and to teach it. That's what we should do as well. Take that up. It's not simply all about, oh, you're up here. It's not simply all about, you know, laying hands on and praying for that. That's important. Yes, yes. But understand this. People that maybe you prayed for and received a miraculous healing. Praise God for that. But guess what? Unless Jesus comes again, they're going to die. We're all going to die. And it's going to be from some illness or whatever it is. We are all going to die. Jesus wants us to be prepared for those moments when we are not healed. Those everyday moments when we grow in our faith where we need to be cautious about saying, have you had a miracle lately? Have you had a miracle lately? Keep that in perspective. It's all about the kingdom of God. Jesus said it. I'm here to do my Father's business. I'm here to proclaim the kingdom of God for his glory, for his honor. Number one. That's it. The other things are just like frosting on the cake as far as I'm concerned. Amen? All right. We can do that. But as we navigate through our broken world, listen to this. Remember that faith, hope, love, joy are healing descriptions. Healing descriptions prescribed by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." It seems to me our primary focus in this life is not simply eliminating, overcoming illness or suffering. Rather, Jesus said, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Righteousness is seeking God's will and direction in life. Righteousness is what we do and how we live in Christ. Righteousness is seeking and loving God with our whole being, and also our brothers and sisters, our neighbors. Righteousness is receiving and applying the gifts of love, joy, peace, patience, hope, as we navigate through this world, our lives, as we take on God's character in both our physical and spiritual well-being. What is the most important gifts? Is it the gifts that the Spirit gives us? The gifts of speaking in tongues, gifts of discernment, of course. I would rather really focus on God's character. Faith, hope, love, peace. Because these are God's characteristics of who he is. And if we are made in his image, I want to take on his character in my life. I believe that was Jesus' kingdom purpose, was to proclaim God's righteousness, proclaim the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus was all about. He didn't want to make it about him. He didn't want to make it about, gee, another miracle. Oh, let's go see him. He's doing miracles. Jesus said, I've got to get out of here. I got to move on because I need to keep my focus. My focus is on proclaiming the kingdom of God. Now, righteousness, seeking God's righteousness also means that it's good for our well-being. When we are seeking Christ each and every day, when we're trying to put him first each and every day, when we're in his word each and every day, when we are fellowshipping with other brothers and sisters each and every day, when we're challenging each other in Christ each and every day, God says, then be cool. Be cool and trust. Then trust me. Trust me for that illness. Trust me for that concern that I have in my life. Trust me with your family. Then trust me, it's all going to work out for his glory. What is God's greatest desire? I believe it is for us to have fellowship with him. I believe that's God's greatest desire. He wants us so much to have fellowship with him. So let's not hold back. My brothers and sisters, let's not hold back. And seek his kingdom and his righteousness. For did not Jesus say that all these things will be given to you as well? So therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. Oh Lord, sometimes we want to try to complicate things and make things difficult when you just want us to focus on the basics of the faith. And Father, help us to do that. God, help us. Help us to be who you want us to be. Help us, Lord, to just seek your kingdom, to seek your love. Help us, Lord, to be confident to know that as we take on your characteristics of love, joy, peace, hope, faith, gentleness, self-control. That we have within us your likeness, your character. We take on, really, our image becomes yours in you. I thank you, Lord, and I give you praise for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, we do not have to be Hollywood to feel your power and presence in our lives. We don't always need the fireworks, but just listen to you and allow your spirit to heal through us. We thank you, Lord, and we give you praise. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us? This last song we're going to sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart. And God put it on my heart to choose this as the last song. And in fact, I was speaking with Becca, and she shared with me that God put it on her heart to sing this song today. And then she thought, Sue's leading worship. And we never really talked about it until now. And so how special is that? God has a special moment, even now. And Open the Eyes of My Heart is an oldie but a goodie, right? And the thing that I like about it is that it's kind of like a prayer and then a praise, and we get to sing how holy he is. And so I want to invite each and every one of us, it doesn't matter where you are with your walk with the Lord, he's shown me over the years that even though I've been walking with the Lord for many years, he has new things for me all the time, new challenges, new trials, new opportunities for me to go to him and surrender again, or to repent again, or to just say, open my eyes again. And so I just want to invite you, no matter where you are, it's never too late to just renew your dedication to the Lord, or to just ask him, what does that look like? So let's ask the Holy Spirit, what does he want to do in our heart right now in this last song as we sing it, okay? Open the eyes.